Okay, so we're starting on really this week's parsha. We're going to go back to last week's parsha. This week's parsha is page 517, 35, chapter 35. Begins, it's like seriously a recap. These 2 weeks, the Yaakov Pekudei, are just recapping almost exactly what we had in Terumat HaSaba. Terumat HaSaba was the command of it, and the Yaakov Pekudei is the actual building of it, of these things.
You say what page? What's
517 we're starting with. So it says, verse 4 and 517. Moshe said to the entire assembly of children of Israel, saying, this is the word that Hashem commanded, saying, take from yourselves a portion for Hashem. Everyone whose heart motivates him shall bring it as the gift for Hashem. What your heart motivates, which means, very obviously, give as you see fit. If you're a wealthy guy, give more. Or if you want to give more. If you're a cheap guy, we don't have money, give less. That's what the word means. Whose heart motivates him shall bring it. Then it says gold, silver, copper, yeah, we don't care. All the stuff till verse 10. Then we're going to get smart people. Now we got all the construction material. So every wise-hearted man among you shall come and make everything that Hashem has commanded. Let's go to what Hashem commanded. The tabernacle, the color, the talk, the spike. It's all a repetition. But what's interesting here is in the verse 11.
This course,
it says the tabernacle, its tent, and its cover, its hooks, its planks, its bars, pillars, and the last one, and its sockets. So what we're doing here is we're recapping. Everyone do what you want and bring what you want. And this is what we're going to do with it. Okay, now, in the beginning of Parshas Truma, we're spanning the globe a little bit tonight again. On page 445, Keeves, page 445, 20, chapter 25, this is where this starts. Same idea. This is when Hashem spoke to Moses. What we just read right now is Moshe repeating what we just wrote here. But on 445 is the original commandment. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, let them take from me a portion for every man whose heart motivates him. You shall take my portion. Everyone gets an option. What is it going for? Same thing. Gold, silver, copper, the ganze spiel, as they say here. So we have on page 445, your initial commandment. Everyone, the commandment, it's a funny command. It's a commandment, give as you want. Not a command, give X. Command, give as you want. That was Parshas Truma. And then we're repeating it here at the beginning of Parshas Vayakha. Now there's one problem there. Because when you're going to read all these things in page 445, that's not exactly what was repeated in 517. Because there's one in between. So we're doing one more. Moving on to pages, Keeves. One more. Page 485. 475, Parshas Truma. 485 starts TC, which was last week. Here it says, when you take a census of the children of Israel, we're on now chapter 30, verse 11. According to the numbers, every man shall give an atonement for his soul. There will be no plague among you. This they shall give. Everyone who passed through a half a shekel. That's literally a half a shekel. There's nothing to discuss it. So in verse 13, it says, the last words of 13 say, it shall be a portion of Hashem. 14, everyone who passed through the census from 20 years old shall give a portion of Hashem. Repeated in 14. 15, the wealthy shall not increase and the destitute shall not desecrate to give a portion of Hashem. You see the problem here? We got the word portion of Hashem three times in the beginning of Parshas Tisisa. So Rashi, by the way, explains it. Oscar is perfect there. Bottom of 485 on the left. The word truma, or portion, is mentioned three times in the passage. Verse 13, 14, and 15. From which the sages derive that there were three separate gifts of silver. Two of them were required gifts of a half a shekel each, and the third was a voluntary contribution. The two compulsory gifts for an annual contribution to cover the cost of all communal temple offerings, the first one. And a one-time, this is what I want to discuss, contribution of silver for the sockets upon which the walls of the tabernacle rested. So it goes like this. What we're saying in today's parsha, everyone give what your heart desires, and we're going to build everything, including the sockets. The sockets were not included in what your heart desires. That's not true. Everything was through your heart desire. When it came to the sockets, since it said a portion three times in a row, same exact thing, on page 45 over there, just in case, the sockets were automatic. Everyone had to give the same amount, a half a shekel. As you know, a wealthy guy could not give more. As you know, a poor person couldn't give less. Everyone in Klai Yisrael gave the exact same amount, a half a shekel, for the sockets. That were, what were sockets? The sockets were what you put the walls into. To balance the walls, the sockets went into it. That's what we have right now. Okay? So when we're saying in this week's parsha, the sockets, I'm just pointing out it's not exactly 100% what we're previously writing. We're beginning our passage saying it's what you donate on your own, what your heart desires. No, no, no. The sacks are not part of what your heart desires. You had no choice in that. Everyone had to give half a shekel for the sacks. Rich guy, poor guy, everyone is the same amount. So the question becomes, what's going on? Why, this week's parasha and 3 weeks ago parasha, and 2 weeks ago parasha, last week and 2 weeks ago, why, when it comes to the sockets, was everyone forcibly equated? And when it comes to everything else, give as much as your heart desires. You want to put your name on the building? Give a $10 million donation. Put your name on the building. When it comes to the sockets, we're not taking donations. We are taking money, but it's not a donation of your choice. You got to give the same amount as everybody else. That's the question. Got it?
Point of information. The sockets is the foundation.
Well, if you have a picture here, the sockets are, okay, pictures here. Look, the sockets are what the boards went into.
Let's see. Connect every two boards.
Every two board, right? And
for sure. So that's the skeleton. That's like the skeleton.
It's a hardware to connect two boards together.
If you look at page 457, it's what those slots go into. 457. You can't hold, the Mishkan doesn't stay if you are on the slots of the wood boards. You have to connect them. So you put the sockets in, into those, the bottom of the planks, and everything's good. That's what we have right now. Okay. So why does the sockets have the same? There are different answers. But we're going to go, the easiest answer is going to be that everyone has to have a part in the base. After that, we can stop choosing and picking what we want. But in the bare minimum, what's holding everything up? Welcome back, you did you? The bare minimum, everyone's got to do the same thing. That's what you're thinking, Eric? Bare minimum. Okay, we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction. More of a pre-Purim story. And it goes like this. It's quoted in the name of Yisrael Salanter, the great Musadic rabbi, 1800s, genius in psychology. He said like this. What is the reason, he points out, that when we talk about Avraham Avinu and his chesed and his giving and his kindness and everything like that, it's all derived from one word in the Torah. It said that Avraham Avinu set up a tent, Eshel Lavram. The word Eshel was an acronym of Achila, Shtia, and Lina. Everyone come to this house to eat, drink, and sleep. All from one word. From that word, the rabbis tell us that you should know they had a 24-7 operation. Food is constant. Four doors on all sides. No one has to walk around the door. It's all set up from one word. When it comes to the Akedah, the story of him almost sacrificing his son, it's a long chapter. He says, why is that? So he wants to explain, very important to know, Sol Salanta, that when it comes to love, it's endless. Love is outgoing, bountiful. When it comes to fear, when a person's in fear, he crouches. It minimizes, it squares it off. It bordered. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Avraham Avinu right after the Akedah? Now I know you fear God. Now I know you fear God. The story of fear is elongated. Normally, fear crouches someone, and it's the tzamtzim, I don't know the word of the tzamtzim in English. It means it closes it up, contracted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke it out by Riches on the concept of fear. But Ahava naturally is out there. So what I want to tell you is this. When it comes to love, since it's so naturally outgoing, we need it being built based on fear. Endless love, uncontrolled, not a good thing. When there's a little fear in there, endless love is great. So the Torah tells you, when it comes to the love of Abraham, we're going to only tell you one word about it because we got to love. You know what? We want to tell you that for this amount of love of Abraham, we got this amount of fear. Just to tell you how you have to set the system up. Same thing when it came to the Mishkan. When it comes to what your heart desires, was that the phrase we just had? Anyone, what was the phrase we had? It said, I'm on the wrong page here, beginning 445. Every man whose heart motivates him. The heart is out of love. When the heart motivates you, give whatever you want. But we're going to build the base here, the foundation of what's going on here. The foundation is built. Everyone's got to give the same amount. No one's more, no one's less. That's what's called fear. We contract. That's what you can contract it within this box. Everyone does it. Because we don't mind the endless, boundless love as long as it's starting from a base of fear. Endless love is good. when the sphere attached to it. You could almost say, if you want to say history speaking, by the way, history speaking, that when the endless love, summer of 69, thankfully no one here was old enough to remember that. So what happened was, now if you know about this, now the endless love, they had no fear contracting them. That's not a good sign. We have a rule, a famous idea in Judaism. As the forefathers were creating our nation, they had what we would say a portion of negative energy that had to be stripped away. Abraham, we just said, kindness, love, outgoing, chesed. So in order to strip that away, he produced what? A child called Ishmael. The Arabs, who on some level, they believe in multiple wives. They're on some level on a free loving society. It was the positivity of Avraham Avinu's kindness, but it was without Avraham Avinu, without Torah, guiding it, contracting it, and it became what it does in a second. Yitzchak, strength, gvura. What's that? Shaving it off? Yitzchak. There's Esav. Esav will live by the sword. Esav didn't have the Torah aspect of it, therefore it got sent away. So Abraham moved over the Yishmael aspect, that negative energy of too much love. Yitzchak moved away that negative energy to Esav of too much strength. Now, when the Americans and the world, 69, started preaching endless love, you know what happened at the same time? Arabs became very dominant. That's when it began the hijacking. Was that around the same time? Early 70s, late 60s, right? The hijackings. Why? Because when the world was saying we're going to attach ourselves to endless love without a Torah, that's what they're doing over there, without a Torah, what happens is that love without a Torah becomes lifted up. So the Arabs became lifted up as well. Love without the Yira, love without the constriction of a Yira, of a fear, not a good thing. The Torah tells you now, when you're setting up the Mishkan, what your heart desires, go free. But you know what? The base, it's holding it all up, it's got to be fear. Got to be fear.
Fair or fear? What
are you EA.
Fear.
Fear.
Not fair. But both fair.
Yes. Yes, actually, yes. Oh. It even goes, by the way, I want to say, potentially, there's a famous Gemara that's everyone announces now. It's a song. Misha nichnas Adar, Marv Besimcha. When you want to get into Adar this time of year, festivities abound. Festivities abound. But that's not how the Gemara says it. The interesting Gemara says in Tainus, the end of Tainus, the interesting Gemara says that just like you have, when you want to get into Tainus, just like the end, just like a person has to minimize joy. You know which one? I can't see. No, we have to get the right vibe. It's fine. Or the blue red vibes. So just like we have to minimize simcha when we reach the month of Av,
big.
Enlarge. What's that word?
Increase.
Much better word. That's how it's written up, by the way. And really, it's well at the end here. 29, last words of 29a in Tainus. Let's get to art scroll just so they get the English correct. Rabbi Yehuda, Bereder, Shmuel, Bashilat, Bishmei, the Rav. That's the name. Just as when Av, the month of Av in the summer, with Tisha B'Av, just as when Av begins, we curtail joy, which Oscar said, someone take the expression curtail joy, is not to be taken literally, but in fact, all joyous activities must be eliminated. So too, when Adar begins, we increase joy. Sure, since this month ushers in the time to which great miracles occur, we do joy. So all of the commentators ask, what's the comparison? The first words are, just as. What's just as? We minimize. Okay, what's the one with the other? And we're getting excited with pre-gaming, going to get ready for the party. We'll do it out. According to this answer, what we're saying tonight is very important. You know when you can increase a simcha, a party on Purim? When you initially start with a decrease of Av. So we have a Gemara saying that Gemara connects it. When it talks about Purim being in a good mood, the month of Adar in Purim, it prefaces it with saying, by the way, in Av you got to be curtail and joy. Why are we saying this now? All the commentators ask, what's going on? Why is that an introduction? There's one more be happy in this month, one more be sad in this month. Now, of course, it rhymes, so it sounds good, but that's not a real reason. Quote the same time, no, it's very serious. Because before you're going to have endless amount of simcha, we're saying love, comparing him, then you have to have beforehand it based in fear / minimized joy. That means we don't want to go into a party and go crazy unless we know we can be trusted when we go crazy. Not wise to be drinking too much if you can't handle the booze. It's interesting. What did we say a minute ago? Abraham was kindness. Yitzchak was gvura, strength. You know what's funny? Like, what's the name Yitzchak mean? You know what the name Yitzchak means?
Laughter.
Laughter. The one who has the strength, the gvura, that's the guy who can do the laughter. That's the guy I trust with the laughter. The stam guy who's a letz, the comedian who's only full-time comedian, I don't want that guy. That's summer of 69. I don't trust those guys because that's when the Arabs take over the world. What we have to have is, in the public specter of enjoyment for Purim, we have to realize that it's based on a fear of God as well. And with that, I'll tell you a mind-blowing idea just heard. We all know that the famous line is that Purim, holiday of Purim, is more valuable, more holy in God's eyes than Yom Kippur. Always an idiot. Why? Because you phonetically spell it out. Yom Kippur means, what does Kippur mean? Of course, we know Kippur means atonement. But it also can mean that the Chof is a prefix of like, which means it's a day like Purim. Kippurim doesn't mean atonement, a day almost like Purim. When I say A is like B, B is the more valuable one. So when I say Yom Kippurim, it's like Purim, that means Purim is more valuable. And it's a famous, this is not me, everyone says this. Why? We're about to have a new idea, I just heard. Why is Yom Kippur less valuable in some ways than Purim? When it comes to the laws of repentance, we discussed this many times in this class. The more severe the sin, the more repentance required. It's perfect sense, by the way. So if you violate a positive commandment says, put on tefillin. By not putting on tefillin, that's a weak violation. Why? Because you didn't do something. You didn't do something positive. You want forgiveness? Clap on chet, say, God, forgive me, you're all good. Good to go. Any positive, almost any positive commandment that one refrains from doing, fulfilling, the requirement of repentance is very minimal. What about the other one? Eloisa say. So it says, don't eat pig. How do you violate that? By eating an action. More repentance is required. All the Mishnah Yuma. More repentance required, you might get lashes. You need lashes and cry to God forgiveness. The Mishnah says more serious offenses, transgressions, sins. You know what you got to do? Yom Kippur. You need Yom Kippur also, David Tolman. That's going to help you out. But it says, Chil Hashem, desecrating God's name, nothing helps. Not repentance, not lashes, not Yom Kippur. You know what you need? Death as well. That's a Mishnah in Yuma. Desecrating God's name publicly, or desecrating our means publicly, is so severe, the regular rules don't work. Now let's switch over to Purim. The Gemara has a question. Why did the Jews at the time of Purim deserve death? So the Gemara says, yeah, they went to the Suda. They went to the party in the beginning of the Storm of Gila. Ahasuerus made a major party, and the Jews attended in Shushan. What was the party about? The party was about, Ahasuerus made an accounting and thought, wrongly, that the 70 years of the exile had ended. They knew there was going to be a 70-year exile, then there would be a return of the temple, the second temple. He said, I'm doing the calculations. 7 years up, God didn't do it. You know what that means? No more temple, no more Jews, let's party. And then he said, Jews, you better show up. The Jews showing up to such a party is not the ultimate desecration of God's name. They were wrong, but according to what was going on, we were making a party. Why? And it says even Ahasuerus, she spoke by the one of the years, and Vashti took the vessels and the clothing of the high priest and wore it and drank from it. They were celebrating the end of the Jewish nation. 70 years are up, nothing to do. Ultimate desecration of God's name. What's forgiveness for that? You know what they deserve punishment? Death. And we know from the laws of Yom Kippur, desecration of God's name, there's no other way out besides death. Did the Jews in the time of Esther die? No, why not? Because when Haman took his ring, when Ahasuerus took the signet ring off his finger, he gave it to Haman. It says at that moment, the repentance of the Jews was the greatest moment of repentance in history. It said Haman did more when he took that ring. The fear that the Jews were under that moment was the greatest repentance in the world. And God said, you know what? I accept that repentance.
God, wait a second. You told us the rule is if you desecrate God's name in public, you don't get that repentance. The answer is because the day of Purim is greater than the day of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, a day of atonement, a day of forgiveness, works the laws of forgiveness. You know how laws of forgiveness work? You don't put on tefillin. If you eat pig, gotta get cleft, gotta get lashes. You do more, you need Yom Kippur. You do the worst. Desecrate God's name, don't discuss. In the history, the laws of repentance, when you're reading laws of repentance, someone who desecrates God's name in the public has no way out. But in the laws of Purim, in the laws of Purim, the day of Purim, it helps. The even if someone desecrates God's name, if he celebrates Purim the right way, everything's forgiven. Now, what does celebrate Purim the right way mean? So according to what we're saying like this. According to what we're saying is, you can have a day of joy. Purim is a day of joy. Immense joy. Partying. But what we're saying is, remember, Mishenichnas Av meant the destruction of the temple. Don't forget the destruction of the temple. Which means, even on Purim, you have to remember the destruction of the temple. Which, by the way, is part of the story of Purim. When they began with them celebrating the Jews, the destruction of the previous temple, and the Jews never getting back. Which means you got to know the beginning of the story also. Just like we start the game by the story of Esther. We're starting from the story of the celebration of the exile of the Jews that never returned, destruction of the first temple, that was the last temple they believed. When we celebrate on Purim, that's remember, Mishneh Tzav, because celebration needs fear in the beginning. And that type of day of celebration, when you're enjoying God through the fear, forgives even desecration of God's name in public. When the Jews are showing up, it was all bad. But the moment, maybe, doesn't say Megillah. Maybe when those Kalim came out, some of the Jews were like, wait a second. That doesn't, in the story, when you read the story, that's why I look into this. The story is that the Jews were bad, and when they took off the ring, they started panicking. The power was given over the Jews. That was said. The Gemara says that that moment created a tremendous amount of Kiddush Hashem. It was a good thing in a way. The most evil moment in history became a good thing because all the Jews started repenting. It's like the famous thing when the guy goes to the rabbi and he says, you down for me. And he's going on, and finally the guy tells him, there's no hope. I can't down for you anymore. The guy breaks down and starts crying. He says, oh my God, I can't believe God. I've been lying on this guy the whole time. And then he gets answered. The guy says, what happened? Because the whole time you're lying on me. I'm the wrong guy. You rely on God. So the moment you gave up everything, rely on God. So those moments, when he gave over and the Jews thought it was over, the repentance they had, we're saying a step more. That repentance is built from a day of Purim, which we accept. We celebrate the exception of it. And we're saying that Av and Purim go together. Because the first thing about the party that we have to know about is that it's created with a fear. Just like in the Mishkan, in this week's parasha, that you can give as much as you want portion-wise of what you love, but it's got to be that half a shekel between that setup that builds the base. We love outgoing love only when it has a base of Yerushalayim, fear of God. Then you can get away. But when there's no fear of God, 1969. Arabs running the world. No. And over there, by the story of Haman, because Achashverosh was ruling the entire world, he had it all together, the fear was much greater.
Oh, so you're saying all the Jews at one time, they were all praying.
Yes, I don't know for 1 second, but all, yeah.
So it wasn't like here, you have Jews in America and Jews in Europe.
Right. It was all with small group.
Well, it was Achashverosh ruled the world. So because Achashverosh ruled the world, when he made a decree negative on the world, it affected all the Jews. But at the time of Purim, everyone knew. Now, everyone went to this party, whatever word everyone means. It sounds like
the leaders. Or everybody? It sounds like everybody. Because there's 3 million of us.
Yeah, it was not then, but whatever it was then, it was a massive party.
More than.
In the time of Esther.
Yeah, why not?
You can't.
If you read about the party, it was massive. It was the party of probably history, one of the greatest parties in history of the world. 180 days. Everyone had wine older than them. So if I'm 26, I don't know exactly what that means. Wine was 27. 52, wine 53. All colors. All everything going. It was and everyone had something they liked. You ordered any food.
I don't know if I trusted the aging or the wine at the time. Knowing now.
Strong wine.
Yeah.
You're saying every Jew went to the party?
The Mara seems to say that everyone went except for Mordechai. They went, and then the unbelievable story was that when Mordechai didn't go, Haman came against Mordechai, and the whole thing was against, you know what the Jews were saying? Mordechai, you were wrong. If you would have gone to the party, you were the one guy standing on the other side. We all went, and now Haman's angry at you, and he's destroying all because of you. They were anti-Mordechai. Mordechai was the most hated guy in Klal Yisrael for a short time. And that's how the Megillah ends, by the way. The Megillah ends
It's put down a little.
He gets put down a little. Because for many, and many, maybe we'll talk about the next week. Many of these, the Megillah ends with Mordechai saving the world in a crude American, not American, Heintike, a daily history, almost like Churchill, who won the war against all the odds, everyone going against him, and then he was kicked out a couple of years later.
Sure. Back to the party. Esther wasn't at the party, so no women were at the party, let's assume.
It
no
actually women. Says that the party was done for the women. So I don't know why it doesn't.
A separate party. Vashti's
right,
party.
It was a party.
So Esther were at that party?
Interesting. I have to look
think
it
about
up.
That. All right. Let's
the Tuesday night chair.
Was that
right. That's true. That's true. I can show you pictures.